Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
We thank you, we love you, we bless you, we glorify you. Thank you for your truth, thank you for your word. Father, thank you that you are our helper. And thank you for the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher, that teaches and reveals to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Ari, when you were in elementary school, did you have a teacher's aide? You didn't call her teacher's aide, correct? You just call her teacher, correct? The same as the other teachers? Or Miss, Mr., yes. What I'm trying to say is Jesus is our great shepherd of the sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the great teacher. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is that teacher, that assistant teacher of the great teacher. That the great teacher will teach you in a generalized way. But the assistant teaches you personally. It's much more specific for your own life. You understand? Here in this school system, when children don't understand something, the teacher's aide teaches them with greater detail. That's how the Holy Spirit shares to us what the great teacher is trying to share. Now, let's see principles of the kingdom of God that will help you live in victory. Very few people live in victory these days. Principles of the kingdom of God that will help you live in victory. Principles of the kingdom of God. What is a principle? A simple way of defining it is a base, an origin, or a fundamental reason on which one proceeds in any matter. That's a principle, according to the Dictionary of the Royal Spanish Academy. Now, what do you know what the principle of gasoline or of diesel is? What is it called? Petroleum. That natural gas, which would be its origin, its base. And then there's a process, but over its origin, or over the principle, is where it's worked upon. Understand that point. Well, we're going to see principles or origins of the kingdom of God. I'm going to start very simply. I know we might go a little fast, but you'll see that sometimes people may know something, but they don't understand it up until you live it. Which is why it's very important to truly depend on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an emotion. It's not strange, weird things. The Holy Spirit is a person. And when you truly know how to spend time with Him, you will hear clearly the voice of God, and the Holy Spirit never yells at you. I'm talking to you personally. Never yells at you. Never scare you. The Holy Spirit is a soft and still voice, but you learn to hear it. And we'll be seeing these principles on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? It's a way in which God operates. It's a government system. It means that God will not change regardless of how much He loves us. Regardless of how much God loves you or me, He will not change. Amen. Because it's a system that has been established. The kingdom of God is a system of government. The conjoined system, one more time, the kingdom of God is a system of government, a conjoined system of spiritual laws in which God operates. Therefore, we need to learn to operate in that kingdom of God. Amen. Now, let's see one of those first principles in the kingdom of God, the wisdom of God. Another way of saying it is the direction of God, hearing the voice of God. We'll see it for one moment here in the Bible, then we'll see more things as we go. So Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel is the good news of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, go to Acts, where I'm going to be. I'm going to be establishing some foundations on this. So in Acts 20, verse 24 and 25. The Apostle Paul speaking here. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Notice this, the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Notice how similar is the counsel of the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom. Notice that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, in chapter, go to the last chapter of Acts. Chapter 28, Acts 28, verse 30, the last two verses, 30 and 31. Then Paul dwelt two whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that one more time, the kingdom of God, the system of God. So notice here, let me explain this to you very quickly, and you have to understand it. Faith and grace are under the kingdom of God, which is why you need to know how to put grace in its respective order, faith in its respective order, and understand them, because if not, you will violate the laws of the kingdom. And you will be frustrated when something does not work or works against you. For example, something that can work against you. Another principle says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Notice that. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. Well, you start saying, oh man, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this, man. The economy is so bad. Oh man, well that's a law of the kingdom. You know what's gonna happen? It's gonna go against you. And that's what's going on in many Christians, because they confuse. Faith does not deny things and does not deny the circumstance, but the issue is when you're so focused that that's all you speak. You know what I mean? If you want to learn more things, more subjects on that, you can go to Kingdom and Government, on socialism and all, and everything that has to do with government on our website and on YouTube. And that we're actually starting on X now, Elon Musk's app, where some of our videos in English are up there as well. But you know what I do? I don't focus on the economic situation. I speak on it. There are some things that we have to know and understand. But regardless of what happens, I'll say it like this. If Mrs. Harris were to win, God forbid it. Even with that, to me, to Brother Hughes, I will not lack anything and I will prosper more in difficult times. Because there's another truth that is known as the kingdom of God. Well, I know the situation in our neighboring country is not so good as well. Well, the focus, your and our focus should be that if you are born again, you are subject to the kingdom of God. Therefore, you have to operate more in this. We won't deny what's going on. It's a disgrace, yes, because the people in this country and in other countries, put inept leaders. Inept simply means not capable. But since I cannot control what the other people do, what is your and my part to do? To speak, to say, in the natural, speaking of governments, to speak, but in line with the Bible. Amen. To speak, to say, but all in line with the Word of God. You agree with me? And to speak and say with the Word, and to vote. Here in the United States, less than half of Christians vote. And Christians have asked me, they tell me, oh, well, Brother Houston, if I can't vote, they've asked me, people that I know in Phoenix, then speak about it. Use social media for something good. Influence people. So a person that I know that cannot vote just yet, just a couple years ago, he told me, Brother Hughes, 10 people of my family, I'll just tell you, voted here in the United States for the right-sided party, not to be giving publicity to any sides. I don't want to use all my time to speak on politics, which is why I use Mondays for that. But you see what I'm trying to say with that. So in the spiritual, what am I going to do? Worry? Be discouraged? No. Then here comes this principle of wisdom. Under the other administration, there were about what? We took care of about 40 horses in our stables, in our ranch. Well, now we have what? 3 or 4. Because people had to sell their horses or get them out of there because they couldn't afford it. So you say, oh, Brother Hughes, how do you do it? Exactly. So we start seeking the wisdom of God. And there are times that the Lord will tell you things that will not come from one day to another. Things won't change from one day to another, but eventually they will. And when they change, you'll go from one level where you were at three or four years ago. Hallelujah. Because that's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the highest system of government than any earthly government. Tell me the best country in the whole world right now. The best country, the best system, the best. And even with that, that country will be short than compared to the kingdom of God. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Which is why we speak, we expose, we rebuke what happens. Rebuke simply means to bring to light. We speak of what's going on, but we don't worry. I'm not worried. Man of God, you know who I'm referring to. There in Texas, the Lord spoke to him and said that a certain person will be in office. Remember that we saw it? Well, what if if that's true? Well, the man of God has more than 60 years in ministry. What happens is people can rebel to the will of God. So what am I going to do? Be discouraged? Be worried? No. No, of course not. Not me. All I do is continue forward in preaching the kingdom of God. Continue preaching the message of faith. Hallelujah. That's what we do. Thank you, Lord. So, now with that being said, notice this in Acts chapter 28, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go to another verse, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So he has delivered us from the power, from the authority of the darkness, from the kingdom of darkness. Did you know that The kingdom of darkness. This is number one. Number one, the kingdom of darkness means ignorance. Not just of the acts. Darkness means something without light. So when you see all the things that the world does, that the world preaches, it's all darkness. But it has to do with ignorance, first of all. The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of ignorance. The world operates in that kingdom. Amen. So let's see the principle of wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 7. The principle of wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Spiritual understanding. But wisdom, notice this, above all, wisdom. Notice the King James Version, what it says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Notice there, the principal thing. Look at it right there. It's right there. Principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Or spiritual intelligence, that could also be said. So we cannot operate like the world. If you operate like the world, the kingdoms, the laws of the kingdom, it's not that God is mad with you, or that God doesn't like you, but the kingdom, the laws of the kingdom will work against you. So what we do now is, you saw that we were transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So start acting like a citizen of the kingdom. What happens? That's what happens in countries, especially here in the United States. This happens. And this is the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm tired of not speaking the truth more. Jesus said that the truth will set you free. So what happens? This country has changed because we bring people from other countries, illegal or legal. They come with another culture, come from other countries, but they bring their culture with them. They don't renew their mind to a new culture. And that happens in European countries as well. So the people say, oh, no, you're racist. It has nothing to do with it. It's that they bring a different culture and do not submit to the new culture. Well, I'll say it in the natural. That happens also in the spiritual world. Many Christians, they want to see the benefits of the kingdom of God, but be operating when they were in the kingdom of darkness. My brothers and sisters, what part of the scripture do you not understand when it says, do not worry for anything and be worried? Nothing is nothing. Family, children, wife, work, business is nothing. I understand the human side. I'm a father as well. I understand the human side. I have a business. But you know what? If God cannot take care of me and my children and my businesses, no one else can. So He gave us instruments and principles. And one of them is to seek wisdom. And I'll be talking about more on that. He gave us the power of prayer. We're not alone. Do you think that the act of you just be telling half of the world of what's going on in your family with your children will help you? No. That of social media be publishing is, and Christians doing it. I'm feeling depressed. Feel like crying. Do you think that's just trash what we're presenting to the world? And then we try to talk to people in our jobs. And then they tell you, how? I just saw what you put there on Facebook that you feel sad and depressed. The world would rather pray for you. Hallelujah. I mean, you don't speak those things. The world has to see Jesus, to Christ in you. And how will He see you? Being sure, confident of who is in you. Confident in the Word.
Primordialmente,
First of all, if you hear the voice of God, you know why I am so pushed away from those people? Because in religion, where I came from first, from the world, yes, I came from those religions where they believe in tongues and they believe in prophecy. But those people did not give testimony because some of them worked with me. We worked in the same company. At church, you saw them with a church face. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Christ is coming. Glory to God. You saw them with a church face. You'd hear them talk with a church talk. Oh, hallelujah. And then the pastor, who lives in them? Christ and his name in glory. And his people in victory, but they were struggling. But that's how they say it, in victory. And it was just all a fallacy. And then you see them praying in tongues and prophesying. But on Monday you saw them with their workers from the world, just the same jokes, the same sayings, cursing, bad words. But the day before, you saw them very spiritual. So you know what happens? Those people sat in the Spirit of God, and then they start saying, "Oh, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy." It's not even the Holy Spirit; it's all just emotion, because they don't honor the Holy Spirit in them. They do not honor the presence of Christ in them. Thank you. Are we good? No one mad yet? I said yet, because, you know, I'm going to keep going and you'll probably get mad. No, it's not my purpose to get you mad. My purpose is to preach the word to the people. But, for example, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit, one of the things that he does is he is the counselor. The Bible calls him the counselor. The counselor. But don't bring him down to the human side, like, and the English side. Oh, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Oh, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Yes, I understand your pain. That's not counseling. The Holy Spirit, when he counsels you with the Word. The Holy Spirit counsels you with the Word. The Holy Spirit counsels you and tells you, get up. You are a child of God. I'm inside of you. You are more than a conqueror. The Holy Spirit will counsel you with the truth. We have made a Mickey Mouse version of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You hear people with what I spoke on Thursday about music, what I spoke about that of the world. And they make of a much less masculine version of the Holy Spirit. They actually believe that the Holy Spirit is a woman, call her the Great Mother. Just heresies, and that's how false grace started going. They started falling. Yeah, no, I'm not telling you that the Holy Spirit is also pulling you from your hairs and kicking you. But at the same time, I'm telling you, it's counseling you with the Word, telling you, I am with you. And he'll tell you, you gave place to the devil. Close the doors here. Get up. Restore yourself. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit restores you with the Word. The Holy Spirit counsels you with the truth. Perhaps not. Perhaps he won't talk to you as harshly as I am right now, but he will tell you in here, get up. Don't be giving place to the devil. Remember what you are. You are more than a conqueror who bring the truth and say, in Christ, Christ takes you always in glory. Stop speaking death. Stop speaking those words. Stop acting in your human side. It will remind you that you are a spirit. A spirit being before anything else. That's what the Spirit does. Now in Proverbs 9, now speaking here on wisdom. Another way of referring to wisdom is the same as what I'm going to say. The principle of wisdom is the principle of direction when God directs you. Proverbs 9, verse 7. I'm going to read from verse 7 to verse 12. Proverbs 7, Proverbs 9:7-12. He who corrects a scoffer. A scoffer is an ignorant one who makes fun, gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. But do this, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. I believe you're wise, which is why we're correcting things. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser, but the wise person has to receive. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me, your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you, speaking here of the wisdom of God, which is Jesus. Amen, which is Jesus. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. You notice that? So don't make a Mickey Mouse version of the Holy Spirit or a Mickey Mouse version of the grace of God, which is why many of these people started falling in heresies of the Mother Holy Spirit and this and that. And a diluted grace where people live in sin, live in disobedience, do whatever they want because they say, oh, grace is covering me. That is not true. And if there are Christians who continue that way, it tells you right here, they will pay it by themselves. Hallelujah. Now notice this. For by me your days will be multiplied. Notice in the same chapter, all of chapter 8 of Proverbs is the wisdom of God. So in 8:15, this is something that we can speak over those in government. I'll tell you all those here. Perhaps we're disappointed, be it here in Mexico. You have all the right to feel disappointed. But careful with the words that are spoken towards our governors. 15. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. Speaking of the wisdom here. Verse 16. By me princes rule, and nobles, all the judges of the earth. So, I don't know if you heard me speak in kingdom government, how I direct to Mr. President here. I say Mr. Biden or Ms. Harris. I don't call them names of crazy old lady this or old man this. It's same with the president from Mexico. Same with any other leader. You know what? We're cursing them more and we're delivering more in the hands of the devil so that the devil can use them to destroy this nation more. We can be in disagreement with them and we can go against their politics, but not against them as a person. On the contrary, we should say, Father, thank you that you give wisdom to so-and-so leader. And I speak the wisdom over their life. Some would say, yeah, but you don't see it. Well, of course, how is it not going to be seen with so much cursing? We're speaking that we have to speak and act like children of God and not of the world. I've seen people here and in other countries in another city saying F Biden, a giant flag on their truck. I'm not going to say the word. It's just disrespecting the office, disrespecting him as an elder. And you're cursing him more. And you're delivering more in the hands of the devil to where the kingdom of darkness will work more in his heart and mind to take more inept decisions. Hallelujah. Amen. You can disagree. You can completely disagree with them. And you have all the right, especially with the Bible. But to curse them and to hate them, then what's going to happen is those same king laws of the kingdom will work against you. Thank you, Lord. You're all very quiet. What could it be? Condemnation? Or revelation. You don't know how much I despise the policies of the working party right now, but the policies, the ideas, they're contrary to the kingdom and to my Lord. But I don't despise the people. I don't hate them. I have compassion for them. Hallelujah. I will not curse them more. Now, notice verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So you see, those who seek me diligently. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness. Notice this, riches. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. But notice what verse 22 says, because the whole chapter speaks of wisdom. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, the Lord possessed me in the beginning. Notice, the Lord possessed me in the beginning as He had me. John 1, 1 and 2. Thank you, Lord. John 1:1-2. In the beginning, speaking of the Lord, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hallelujah. He was in the beginning with God. Speaking of Jesus, of that wisdom. Notice in Colossians, or apologies, 1 Corinthians 1:28. You despise as God has, the next verse? No, it's not that one. Verse 30. But of Him, of the Lord Father, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. There we go, wisdom. And you know what happens? Many Christians fall into circumstances because they don't learn how to hear from God, and they hear the voices of the world, of friends, of family, of their business. And every decision that you make, being rushed, will bring you consequences. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit has is He will not speak to you. He will speak to you, but you will not hear. In the middle of chaos, in the middle of noise, the Holy Spirit needs an atmosphere of peace. But more than just being still, of peace. Peace. You cannot hear God, my brothers and sisters, with problems and noises. You have to take control. Brother Copeland says that one time, he arrived, before having planes and all that, he arrived in his car in Texas with Miss Venita, his mom. And they arrived there with Miss Gloria. And he was all sweaty. He arrived to change, to take a shower and change clothes. And his mom said, "Hey, make me something to eat. I'll have some eggs." And he said, I said the Holy Spirit needs peace, not those noises. I had to take control and use... and have more respect of God and turn off your phones. People can wait. God can't. That's one thing that we've lost here in the body of Christ. Respect and honor for God. We give more honor to flesh and blood instead of giving honor to God. My brothers and sisters, you will not receive wisdom to do with your family and with your children if you cannot give honor to God. Up until you honor God, and you place Him first, you will hear, and God will speak to you. Because God will not speak to you. If you despise Him, He will continue loving you. That's part of the grace of God. He will love you regardless. But if you do not honor Him, if you despise Him, well, what would you do if you were speaking to someone and that person is ignoring you every single moment? Would you hate them? No, but what would you do? Well, you'd stop talking to them because they're not paying attention to you. They ignore you. That's what the Holy Spirit is being is heard about it, but he's a gentleman. He will leave you alone. He said, prepare some eggs for me, please. And in that moment, the phone rang. And an aunt of his, sister of his mom, was in the hospital, in a grave situation. And his mom said, let's go to the hospital, let's go. Let's go, Kenneth. No. Prepare me some eggs, please. But it's your aunt, she's dying. What happens is Brother Copeland wanted to hear from God. All these stories have helped me so much. And I've learned from them. And I've put them to work. And they have worked for me. In a marvelous way. In an amazing way. Miss Vinita prepared the food for him. She said they were the most tasteless eggs, not because they were bad, but because he was paying attention. He was not enjoying his food because he was paying attention to the words of the Spirit. After he ate and praying, spending time to hear, he said, let's go. He went, spoke the words that he had to speak. I don't remember all the rest, but sister in Christ and his aunt and his mom lived many years after. Now those Christians, forgive me, my God, help me. Give me wisdom to deliver this. I don't want to offend anyone. But those Christians who have anxiety attacks, I cannot, and have depression, I can't understand them. I'd want to, but I can't. And believe me, I have mercy upon them because I had depression. I know Nuvi always told me to be careful with what I say because sometimes I could make people be confused, especially on air. But believe me, I lived it, which is why I tell you, depression is a selfish spirit. It makes you focus only on yourself. And you forget about the rest. You forget that there's a life ahead. You forget about God. And there are men and women who forget that they're married, have children, by being focused on themselves. It's a spirit. And sometimes many spirits, they're demons. But it's where you have to take authority. You know what authority is? It's power. It's delegated power. All the whole kingdom of God backs you up. That's authority. And you have to take the point where, and you say, I curse this. I told one person I was praying to on Friday. Said, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to go out with our children when it's rebellion. It's not just talking and scolding. It's, sit down. I'm going to cast out this demon, these demons that you have inside of you. And cast them out and say, I cast out this stupid demon of disobedience, of carnalities, in the name of Jesus. And make them that question. Have you been born again or not? If not, there is a hell waiting for you. Tell them now. Hallelujah. There are moments of speaking, being patient. There are moments of being pamperous. There are moments, of course, I'm telling that the Holy Spirit has to direct you. But there are moments where they have to be done. And the Holy Spirit can direct you to do so. Hallelujah. Because when the Spirit directs you, there's an anointing. That's another word. Or you just don't just make it super mega, oh, super mega spiritual, where you're floating in the clouds. Oh, anointing. How Papa Hagen said, those Christians who are talking about anointing, where the majority of them, anointing could come in dressed as a cowboy, they wouldn't recognize it. Because they spiritualize it so much to where they're just kind words. They just hear, oh, anointing, I love that. Where, oh, I even fall back. Oh, Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm going to fall back. Oh, it's just nonsense. We're talking language of the kingdom. Someone say amen. I think my office is closed, group, but do me a favor, please. I made something there in my notes. Bring me my phone, please. It's there on my desk. Notice this, Matthew. Thank you, Lord. Are we good till there, up to now? A little harshly, but are you all good? Because you're all used to it now. Matthew 12:46. I'm telling you because this will help you. You have to take authority. Sit down on that throne that God has placed you on. And take authority from there. Cast out demons in your home. Grab authority. Here in this city, you cannot gain authority in Ukraine because you don't live there. But we live here, so we have authority here. And many things would be better in our cities. There would not be so much disgraces if we take more authority. Not saying that everything 100% will be fixed. You know why? Because the world will take their decision. But you and I were called to do something. We can speak mercy. We can speak mercy over other countries, other people. But that's it. That's all we can do. Thank you. Because I did something here. So pay a lot of attention to this. With my notes. With all this. Because you're going to hear some words there. The Hebrew. Pay a lot of attention. Because I'm not very good with technology. And I struggle to do all of this. But by the grace of God, it'll all work out. Matthew 12. Don't make fun of me if something doesn't work, because then I'm just going to get all carnal. No kidding. Matthew 12:46. While he was still talking to the multitude, behold, his mother, oh beloved mother, and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. Then one of them said, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered to him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Notice how he said he just ran out. Oh yeah, I'm just going to leave the things of God because my mommy's talking to me. Yeah, the Bible says to honor. That's true. But it says to honor, first of all, God. We have this culture in Mexicans here where you enter to a hospital and you see the entire tribe there, right there. Right there in the waiting room when someone's in the hospital because they want to show their love to the family member. Others with a whole bunch of boogers and tears, saying, oh, what's going on? But they're cursing. They've been born again, but they act as if they were children of God, and they don't understand. You have to get your authority in here. That's the wisdom, to hear the words. I remember when my children, they were very... When something, they wanted to do something on church services. And I'd come and they'd say, go to service here in the hospital. And then they'd say, Brother Hughes, you left you Sister Nubia over there alone? No, she's in a hospital full of nurses and doctors. That's the issue of many couples. They have so much dependence on their husbands or their wives that they stop depending on the Lord. There are wives who want to do something and the husband, oh, what are you going to do? Oh, no, don't grab that. Oh, no, be careful. They treat them as, and what they're doing, it's just making a spirit of idolatry of the wife towards the husband. This woman, where you see her, she's very beautiful, very elegant with her glasses and her makeup. This woman here has driven a giant truck with a trailer with all types of cattle on the freeway, me in one and one in the other, full of hay to. Tons of bales of hay. What am I going to do? Oh, there are women here shaking. They can't drive towards another city if their husband is not there. And they're here. And they speak of faith and faith this. I'm going to prophesy to you. Oh, yeah? Start driving in the freeway first. Cast out that spirit of cowardice. And then you prophesy to me. It's all just nonsense. It's when the word does not bring effect. It's all nonsense, which is why the word doesn't work for them. Mesila, remember how you started driving in the freeway? Tell them that they can learn the example. You gave me the car and you said, okay, you're going to drive. We were coming from Mesa to Tucson. From Douglas to Tucson. And I said, but I don't know how to drive on the freeway, much less on the highway. Well, this is where you're going to learn. That's why you have to learn. If not, you're never going to learn. So she gave me, so he gave me the car. Said, I'll tell you. And notice this. If the cars are going to break, you make sure I'm the one that's breaking in front of you. And all those in front of you. Because if not, you're going to go and crash in front of them. With the ones in front of you. They said, oh my God. Because it was ridiculous that she had her license and she could drive in the traffic of Phoenix, but not on the freeway. I mean, you have one car here, one car here, another one over here, and you can't drive in the freeway? That's a spirit of cowardice. And if the devil has you bound, he'll bind you in other things. You have to learn to trust in God. Nothing's going to happen, I told my wife. Nothing's going to happen. What am I going to do? Oh, go to church. Let's go to church. And then tomorrow, come for me. Perfect. Let's go. It was much better over there than me with her. I'm not a doctor. Backwards, the doctor would tell me, here's your wife. She's about to give birth. And the next day, I'm resurrecting her. But yeah, right there, you have to understand the principles of the kingdom and believe them. Thank you, Lord. And when you understand those principles, forgive me if I'm sounding too rude. And then you come and you say, oh, you offended me, and I'll ask for forgiveness. But right now, let me talk, because I'm going to run out of time. But you see why I haven't gone to other doctrines. I noticed this in 2010. Here's what happened. I noticed this. Perhaps it was before, but in 2010, a man, very famous to this day, he's very well known here in the United States, from the Word of Faith. He, in those times, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, mentors in the faith. Nowadays, he has gone away from them. He's no longer with them. He started teaching a very debaucherous faith, debaucherous grace. And one of the characteristics is that now they start speaking against tithing. Whole churches here in the United States, and I assume in other countries, closed because the pastors started hearing him and started preaching that. And you know what that brings? Dishonor to God. And God is no longer in those churches now. Because I will be just, I just remembered about another pastor, a man who got very saddened. He said, what do I do, Brother Hughes? He said, you teach the truth. And he said that he started teaching, but the people started listening and started listening to other false teachers. And people started leaving because the pastor there believed in tithing. I said, look, you continue, you honor God, and God will honor you. That's all I can tell you. That's all I'm going to tell you. But you also have to pray. And I'll tell you this. Now, don't tell me that the Holy Spirit also told you not to believe in tithing, because it won't be that way. You know what happened? The man started and continued. People left. But now, I have a holy jealousy for him. Because now he's working for a ministry that reaches people at a worldwide level. And me speaking to him, I said, wouldn't you like to pastor again? He said, no. I did my part. I made my sentence. Well, he's freed from that. And he's better now in all areas, spiritually, mentally, physically, everything, family, everything. You know what? God honored him. Why? Because he never stopped honoring God. But if he would have become a coward, he saw that every single Sunday, less and less people came to where he only had four people sitting down. Four people. What was that? My apologies. What did I say? Now, less and less people started arriving. Less and less people. To the point where, apart from his wife and his three children, there was only four people there. They couldn't pay anything light or anything. Other people telling them, oh, leave those churches, all those teachings of tithing and all that. You know what happened with those people? They stopped having wisdom. And when you stop seeking the direction of God, the more you seek the wisdom of God, not just for things, but decisions that in doctrine, you will hear it, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, stop listening to that. Leave those ministers. Don't listen to any of that. This is part of honor. This is part of hearing from God. Proverbs. Proverbs 22. Are you learning something? Verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Do not remove them. Do not remove those ancient landmarks. I will not remove them. Nubia and I will not remove those ancient landmarks our fathers in the faith placed. Notice the New Living Translation. Don't cheat your neighbor by moving the ancient boundary markers. In this case, my neighbor would be you. Set up by previous generations. I will not remove what I have learned from. I taught you for many weeks foundations on the grace, which are important to learn. But now, what's so good of having the grace inside of you and that God loves you, and the grace inside of you could rot if you don't use it through faith. In any part of the Bible does it say that we live by grace? We live by faith. And you can have all the faith of Jesus in you and not use it, and it can rot inside of you. You know what happens? It's like water that doesn't run. What happens with that water? It stinks. Becomes swampy. Full of infection. Of perversion. Of cursing. A discredit. And that water can poison you and kill you if you drink it. Now let's see part of this principle here, part of wisdom. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14. I said, from here on forward, I told you right now before recording, I'm going to enter into great direction in this study series. 14, verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Now, I know people will hear this and will forget. Perhaps you've already forgotten. And others who are listening or watching for the first time. Go to 1 Timothy 3. God tell you to have that job that you have? I just got that from the Holy Spirit. God told you to have that job, or do you have it because you need to pay this off and you need to pay this off? If you have it for that, you're out of the will of God, because God has a better job for you. That's what happens with Christians. They went from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of God, but they were moved by people of the world, by their jobs, by their bosses, and through Jesus who saved them. Fathers and mothers abandon their children, their families for days because they have to pay their house or their car off. God loves you rich, and I'll give you some definitions on that, but at the way of God, not at the way of the world. Now, where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy 3. A lot of Bible, Brother Hughes. Yeah, with giving you Bible, some of you can barely even make it. Imagine without Bible. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. That's how the Holy Spirit works, with the written word. It's that prompting inside of you. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 17. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Where you're not a novice, something new, someone ignorant. But you're someone mature and instructed. You're a disciple of Jesus in the Word. Now, when it says all scripture, I told you some Sundays ago that when Paul wrote this to Timothy, according to history, Paul wrote this between the year 64 to 67 after Christ. But the Bible was made canon, what is known as the New Testament, in the year 397 after Christ. What is now known as Tunisia, north of Africa. So when Paul said all scripture, he wasn't referring to what is known as the New Testament, because it didn't exist yet. It wasn't made canon. So when he said all scripture, he was referring to the first covenant, which is the prophets, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And Jesus said in Luke, I believe it's chapter 24, he said, it is necessary all that is written, everything that is written of me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So all those people that the devil has used to attack a principle as onerous as is the tithing are very perverse. And like the expression that Miss Sister Mireya used. She said, to let those serpents, to bite them. How that serpent deceived Eve. The same way those serpents, people are being bitten by those serpents. By those serpents. So, I want to start closing up with this. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 14:24. By the grace of God, this will work out. Because I made some notes here in my dictionary. What is it, 14:22? So you shall truly tithe of all the increase. In 23, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. This case, his name. I believe if you're here, God chose you to be here, to eat here spiritually. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, etc. But you see that tithe, that word tithe and tithing? The Hebrew. The Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew lexicon. Those were their last names, these scholars in the Hebrew. Tithe means 10, to give a tenth part, to give a tithe, or to tithe. I like all of them because it says to give. Now that word is in the Hebrew. This will work out in the new. Give me just a moment here because I have it in my phone. What is it, 14:22? Are you ready? Deuteronomy, correct? Deuteronomy 14, verse 22, correct? But here in my notes, I want you to see that word. Listen to this. Are you ready? Leave what was there on the screen, please. You see that word there in the Hebrew? That's a pronunciation, give or take. Esel, that's the word for tithing. Now. Right, now, go to Genesis. Oh yeah, it did work. Glory to God. Now you can remove the word. Now, go to Genesis 14. After it says that Abraham delivered all tithing of everything. So in 14:21, I'm going to put it here in my notes. Genesis 14:23. Well, I'm going to start in verse 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I made Abraham rich.'" That's the word to make rich. Now don't put it up just yet. Now put the word to enrich. Very similar, the pronunciation. Actually, it's right here. You ready? One is Esar. And you know why? Because in the Greek dictionary, actually, you can even look it up. The word tithing is the word 637. And the word in the Hebrew is from the same root. Tithing and enrich come from the same root. The pronunciation is almost the same. Esar, Eshar. As to say paternal and fatherly. There's some ignorant people out there. I don't want to curse them more after what I just said. But the devil has used them, and which is why we have so many broke Christians struggling financially. Because if they end up tithing, they make it some sort of ritual. How many of you have take time when you know that it's time to tithe or to sow? You take time at home. You do it here to truly, instead of just running towards the bathrooms, you truly pray in faith what we say up here. And you take time to praise God. If you don't do it, it's for that reason. God does not receive money. He receives, first of all, your heart, the attitude of your heart. There's honor. Is there respect towards God or not? I remember when I started learning these things, I'm not ashamed to say it. There were times where I was learning. This was hurting me. I was getting out of them, but sometimes I'd fall into another illness. From one day, I stopped working for a week. And I fell behind in where I lived. A very ugly ghetto there in Mesa. I lived on a single piece bed, and supposedly the brother in Christ wanted to bless me, but that bed was the dog's. So the old one is mine, and the new one was for the dog. So I cleaned it up the best that I could. I put a sheet on top of it, and I didn't have more. Remember under my bed, I grabbed a sheet of paper, and I said, "For me, I wanted to honor God, learning about the Spirit." I started learning the principles of faith. Believe with your heart, you speak with your mouth. Learning that God is not the cause of illnesses. I wanted to honor God. So I spoke to my pastor. I called him. I said, "Father," I said, "Pastor, I haven't been able to go. I need you to pray for me. I'm in this situation. I don't have any work right now. The check is going to be very low for me." He said, "Don't worry. God is your source. You continue learning," he said. "Give time to the word. The word will grow in you," he told me. "And soon you'll get out of that situation." And what I did? But I put it, not without telling my pastor, I put there, "I owe this tithing of this date. Not out of obligation. It was an owe out of love. You see the difference? For me, it was important. Because I didn't have anything. And a week passed, or 2 weeks passed, after they paid me, and I grabbed the tithing of that week, and of the week before. Because you won't be able to give an offering before you don't learn how to honor God with 10%. No one gives until you don't learn how to give, to honor God with the 10%. Amen. Didn't we see that all scripture? All scripture. All scripture. Leviticus 27, verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And if any of you here want to fall like those inept people out there preaching heresies, you'll fall into poverty. Now, of course, you can prosper in the way of God or the way of the world. I don't recommend the world. You know that you can prosper without God? You didn't know? You can prosper without God. It's true. You can cheat. You cannot depend on God. You can. The Bible actually tells us. As if you don't know it, which is why I sometimes have to repeat the same, because you'll forget. In Psalms, Psalm 73 verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly, who also are always at ease, they increase in riches. Look at the New Living Translation. Look at these wicked people enjoying life at ease while the riches multiply. Those who control everything, all of social media, the stock market, everything. You can prosper without God. What's the difference then? Here's a difference. When you prosper the way of God or the way of the world. Exactly. The Bible says the blessing of Jehovah is what enriches and brings no sorrow. There we go. There's a big difference. I want you to see in the Hebrew what you hear, what to hear. Proverbs 10:22 also means sorrow. Sorrow or disgrace. So we could say the blessing of God is what makes one rich, and it adds no sadness. Lack of peace, pain or disgrace, or which is why so many of these ungodly people, you see them with so much money, with so many divorces, they've been married 3-4 times. Their children are in drugs, some of them. Some of them have gone to homosexuality. Others have committed suicide. Others are in jail, being accused of perverse crimes, which you can prosper, but there's a way, which is with God, in the way of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Are you understanding this? But brother, you told us some time ago in the study series, you spoke of the false message of prosperity. Exactly, it's the false message. It's this, where it teaches you materialism. Where all it teaches you to do is make everything to have houses, cars, and things. God wants you to have houses, cars, and things. I'm not finishing yet. God wants you to have cars, houses, and things, but at his way. The Bible says that that Abraham was rich, but Abraham was a man who developed a relationship with God. Amen. And the principal motive for you to have houses, cars, and things is that you can live comfortably here and not struggle. But that's not true. That's not the principle. God wants you to have that so you don't struggle. But the principal motive is to finance the kingdom of God. Why do you think the world finances the kingdom of the devil? This man, he's a movie producer. I'm not referring to anyone specific, but this is how they do it. And they say, oh, I'm going to invest $40 million to make this movie. The producer, those who contract everyone, the director, the actors, everyone. And they say, I have an idea to promote this, and that the movie is based on this. And then they start working. And they start promoting in the majority of the movies that you see nowadays, and the series, all just abortion, homosexuality, transgender, adultery, power, envy. And then they throw it into the market, and they put them in theaters, and everything that was made from the theaters, now there go Christians to support that, and everything that they gain in profit. The producer from there got money to pay the actors and the director, and we have all these actors of Iron Man, Spider-Man, all those, and all, they're just liberals that hate God, that promote all the ungodly, but Christians are there in the theaters. Amen's already finished up there, because your conscience rebukes you. It's because, oh, the kid's going to get bored. The kid wants to go to the theaters. Give him a good spanking. See how quickly he'll not be bored anymore. Give him something to do. You deliver them to Satan on a big platter. I don't know what to do with my kid, Brother Hugh. So I said, I told you, let me borrow him in those vacations. I'll deliver him to where you won't have to spend money on boot camp or anything. Mothers of children where the kids are dominated. Kids dominate them. And they think that that's love. Their kids take them over. How is that even possible? Where the kids can dominate you instead of you controlling them, instead of you disciplining them. And they think with just throwing a prayer out there that we're all under grace, everything will work out. They're saying that everything is being destroyed and they don't change anything. You know why? Because you're not applying the laws of the kingdom. Not saying that everything is spanking and hitting them. There are moments to pray, there are moments to sit down with them, but eventually there are times where you will have to put order and put discipline and say you're gonna go. I don't ask to this day. You ask Anthony if I suggest if he wants to come to a church services or to the youth. Ask him to 20 more than 20 years. I say, son, do you want to go? Ask him. Where he's taller than me, even carries a gun. No, he's not. That's the error of many of you. His parents. You've let the tradition of man, because I was going to say the traditions of your parents, because not even your parents treated you like that, or your grandparents. Our grandparents, our parents, were not asking for permission. I don't know. My parents were never asking, my grandparents were never asking my parents' permission to spank me. They'd spank me if need be. Of course, because I deserved it. You remember that? And when we love them, we kiss their hand, we hug them. But nowadays, you've let society dictate and tell you. And we have a whole bunch of cowardly parents. Weak-minded parents, where they don't even know what the word says. Become frustrated because they say, oh, what they're teaching me doesn't work. Could it be that you as parents are not putting direction and order as it should be? Your families dominate you. But come to this party where you're listening to terrible music. Or you're not going to use your car, your time, the money that God has given you to come to the things of God, to serve. No. I remember when Nubia and I would do that. I remember one time we went to Mesa and the sun was hitting us like this in a Chrysler Lebaron that we had, 97, that supposedly had air conditioning, but the air would come up from the top to the dashboard. And it wasn't cold at all, and It just didn't work. And we went to Mesa. We were coming back. We were with our pastor on Tuesday. On Sunday. From Tucson. And we were sweating. And since I always sweat. I sweat a lot more than Nubia. So Nubia said. And I said, put the air conditioning on max. Not just the one that was coming out hot. But a big piece of cardboard. And she started throwing air on me. Remember? Just air. Just like this. Like this. I said, no, love, on max. I felt like I was going to pass out, but you know what? We were learning things with the word. When we would come back, we would talk on the, about the word. And sweating. I took off the big drop of sweat. She thought that I was crying. I said, no, it's just sweat on my lashes. And then the sweat made me cry because it burned my eyes. I said, no, it's just the sweat got in my eye. But I turned around and I said, you know what? This is subject to change. But there are Christians who it's much easier to be in their homes. Send me the link. Because other things are their priority. Everything falling apart around them. And they say, why? I'm in faith. Faith is acting in belief. Faith is honoring God. Amen. Faith is when Nubia and I did not have. We barely even knew if we were going to have enough for the week. But in that time, we started giving our tithing. And we started going more and more and more. That's faith. The rest, with all due respect, is just making a fool out of yourself. Just using faith as a name. By faith. All just nonsense. It's honoring God. Talking. Speaking of the word. Acting on what you believe. Putting God first and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. One problem after another because they don't hear from God. They say, why do? Well, I mean, look at the evidence. I'll share something with you so you can learn how to distinguish things. Remember how I told you about a legal issue that I had with my neighbor? Well, it's not something that I provoked. It was something that was there years ago, long before I was the owner of the property where I live now. It was something that was already there. Nothing that I caused. But when you and I provoke issues because we want to please family members or people, and God didn't tell you. You know why? Because God, Satan, the God of this world with a lowercase g, will move things against you, which is why I told you he will use governments, but you have to decide. If the government comes against you, the decisions or the economy gets worse, who are you going to believe? And what are you going to speak? It's not just giving, it's also speaking. Speaking blessing over what you give. Speaking blessing over your home and saying glory to God. Goodness and wealth are in my home. When we came to move here in Douglas, we had a small little home. And it was a plastic table and chairs that we had there for our dinner table. But we started being joyful. Because faith is joyful in the middle of adversity. Not because of the adversity, but in the middle of it, because of the word. Faith is joyful because it sees the result. Like the people of Israel, in Numbers, how they started. How they started saying, oh, these giants are bigger than us. They're much more powerful than us. But Joseph and Caleb said, no, we are stronger than they are. Caleb and Joseph saw more. They saw the result. Amen. The rest of the people were seeing the circumstance. There are many Christians that way seeing the circumstance. We don't deny what's going on. But we're more than conquerors. If we seek the direction of God and confess the word of God, we maintain it with time in the Word, and we spend time with the Lord, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy with the Holy Spirit, praying and hearing from God. This Word will become alive in you, and it will become stronger in your spirit, in your soul, than any other circumstance. And that Word will start changing circumstances out there. And when you start saying, "I am more than a conqueror, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Rich blessings are in my home. Oh well, Brother Hughes, how can I say that that's in my home when I live in just in a small little bedroom keep it clean. Don't have a mess. And try to say that God is going to give me money to make it bigger. Well, you don't even know what to do with what you have. People can't even walk because there's diapers and trash all over the place. Start believing God. Start letting the laws of the kingdom work in you. Honor God with what you have in that moment so you can receive more. If not, you don't qualify. You don't qualify to receive more. God loves you. He will love you. Be it if you're poor, be it broke, and if you live here, although both kind of the same. I was going to say that the government will give you that they can continue there just for a little moment. They're gonna wash your brain out, giving you a little bit of money and just leaving you down there with money from the government. But hey, there's something greater, which is the kingdom of God inside of you. And God has the answer, and in the middle of a situation, in the middle of the hole that you're in, stuck in the middle of the worst over there, where you see poverty there in Mexico, if the Lord told you stay there, He will enrichen you there, and your house will be the one that will give glory to God. Always. Amen. Because God has that plan. It's always that way. And He will always work that way. And if not, it's time that you spend more time having your nose stuck in there in the Bible than in your phone. And on Facebook and all that nonsense. And you realize God spoke to a man named Joseph. And that's where wisdom comes from. And He said, 7 years, 7 difficult years come. And if you notice in this nation, if you study a little bit on the history of this nation, you don't have to go to the 1800s. From the 20s forward of the Great Depression, if you study just a little bit, you realize this country, there has always been lapses of difficult situations. It goes up and down. The economy goes up and it goes back down. Of course, it has to do with something spiritual, but it's always that way. What are you going to do then in the good times when the nation is going good? It's time to take care. And I don't have the time to enter into that point. Being a good administrator. In the times of abundance, you administrate, you don't spend. What do dumb Christians, foolish Christians do? They spend and spend and spend. When difficult times come, boom. Up. Because they became emotional. But if you spend time, and you spend time praying, turn off your phone, turn off the television, and you start spending time with the Lord, and you say, Lord, I will not be moved from here until I hear something from you, something referring to the situation. And I have to spend 2 or 3 days fasting and praying. I'll do it until I hear you, Lord, because it is written here. And you go to the Word and you remind Him of the covenant. You say, it is written, Lord, you told me. If I'm not seeing it, it's because I'm doing something wrong. Because you are perfect always. You start praying in other tongues. You start praying. And you start praying and praying. And you start and continue praying. But I don't feel anything. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. If you learn to hear the voice of God, learn to hear it here. Not in your head, here. And you'll learn to connect the Spirit of God with your mouth. And you won't let yourself be influenced by religion or politics or anything. God will be your guide and your only direction with the Word of God. Nor people, nor flesh and blood, nor family, nor businesses, nor friendships, anything. You'll hear from God. And then, that anointing now, that you prayed for, that wisdom, will start to flow through you. And then your children will follow you. your children will follow. Where they'll annoy you. You won't even have privacy. They're going to want to be with you always. They're going to go and want to go and stay there in your bedroom, always being with you. Even when they're big, married, they're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. You know why? Because I don't know why, but I just like being with my mom, with my dad. You know why? Because they see that wisdom of God. It won't be from one day to another. You'll have to make an effort and stop disrespecting God. There's a lot of disrespect for God, to the presence of God. And we want to see more because we're under grace. On the contrary, but because we're under grace, we don't die just because of the lack of respect. But for that reason, we don't see things in our lives. Hallelujah. And when you start seeing those things, people will follow you. Your children, your family. They won't know how to explain it. But you know why in truth, because God is flowing through you. But what happens? What happens with many parents? They start aging. And their children were kids, now they're adults. Now the kids tell them what to do. Now many grandparents are being babysitters. I stayed here at home taking care of my kids so that they could go on a drunken spree. That's so stupid. What a disrespect is that? Hallelujah. I'm starting to get in with your family now, huh? Stand on your feet. Father, thank you.
Thinking, why did I come? I should have stayed home, you know, just finished feeling better after the hangover. And when we start honoring that one who gave us the home, health, the man, Rene. Hold, Lord Jesus. Have mercy. All that same mercy. They don't understand and don't have revelation that they are alive, well or good, bad or good, because of the mercy. Bartholomew didn't understand that he needed a bigger grace, bigger mercy, but that one by faith and by honor to God. A larger grace. Through the grace of God, we are here today. What you want is what you want. A bigger, bigger mercy and grace. And to see that you need faith. You need honor. Lord, we give you thanks. Thank you, Father. The part that corresponds to me as son minister, that's what I'm doing. Thank you. And now the Holy Spirit will bring a conviction to her and to every believer. Thank you for your truth. Honor you with our tithes, our offering, or both. I don't know what they're going to give. That's between them. And we're going to honor you. And we're not going to honor you just because of a rite or a ritual, but we're going to do, or of a custom, but because we delight ourselves in you and the privilege to sow it is in your kingdom, the privilege and honor. And we also claim, speak, that what we give is multiplied because you promised it. You said, speak yourself to justify. You said in your pact, I will honor those who honor me. Lord, Father, many of us want to honor you because we have realized we have gone to where we are in our lives. Whatever point it is, we've realized that it's only because of your kindness. Thank you, Lord. But we want to see a bigger kindness, a bigger mercy, a bigger grace, a bigger anointing, a bigger manifestation of the kingdom in our lives. We give honor, for you have given everything. And if we fail, it's because we are maybe too stubborn, or our heart is just so closed off. But not all of us are that way. But we want to honor you more. And we want to finish our days serving you and in the ways of God, not dry and cold like the world, and causing compassion, kicked by the devil, living as if they were homeless when they are inheritors of your kingdom, just because they don't want to honor. Thank you, because with your word you are showing us and correcting us. We give you honor, we worship you, glorify you, we honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Give you glory, give you honor. Now, as a pastor under the authority of the Almighty Pastor, those who are going to participate of giving you honor and of the laws of the kingdom, the laws of sowing and harvest, Apostle Paul called it the reason of giving and receiving. Those who are going to give it, give with a pure and clean heart because they love you, and now they're going to put their faith in action. I speak a multiplication, abundance, a growing in their finances, and that what they do, you guide them, and that they prosper, that they flower, they flourish. Where the devil will not touch your finances, he won't touch your home, your house. And with the authority of Jesus Christ, I speak peace in your home. Your home must be a sanctuary where the peace of God reigns. Don't allow the devil to come and bring thoughts contrary of this and that, and you say, no, Satan, no. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say no. And I speak peace. Parents, set your kids, your small kids in order. Fights and yelling between them, don't allow it, because that's when the devil comes. And many parents say, it's because they're kids. It's not normal. Receive the kingdom. Receive it and change your way of thinking. Thank you, Father. Remember, Anthony? Remember, since we were kids, we never allowed to fight. I would come and say, I don't want you guys yelling. And the days would come pass by, and I would come out with the belt in my hand. They already knew. They would say, Daddy, no, Daddy, no. And I would spank them with the belt. And there was peace for about 2 months. And then they would forget, and I had to remind again. Because words that are spoken between siblings, fine. No. From there, it's the devil that starts sowing seeds of discord in there, in your house. One day, two ministers over with Brother Copeland. How did you do it so your children could be in the Lord? A lot of prayer with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Belt. My dad, that's how he educated us. Not with the Holy Spirit, but yes, with the Holy Belt. Amen. They even grow a bigger...
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.